replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "I see I have delivered Jericho in your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March round the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Make 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march round the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, make the whole army give a loud shout. Then the walls of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in." This is the word of the Lord.
Do you want to pop the PowerPoint up? Oh, hello, I am on now. Yay! Thank you. Let me just pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for how you've helped me prepare for tonight's service, for the word I wanted to share. Thank you that you speak through your word afresh each time we read it, Lord. Thank you that you are for us and you're not against us, Lord. And you want to be involved in every part of our story and every part of our life, Lord. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay, right, good evening. You've got the lovely me this evening. But just a little bit of a recap. Just I want to share a picture or something I had in there whilst we were worshipping. And I just had this picture of a person sat curled up in the corner of a room and the light shining through onto them, and the light was a cross shape. And then as we worshipped, the image started to change to different people shaped. But it was the light, but it was people shaped around that person. And actually, though that person may have felt isolated, there were people around, like the family of God, like us now, around that person trying to shine the light of Christ into their life, trying to lift them up and support them. So just an encouragement, really, actually, if you do feel isolated, that actually God wants to shine his light into your life and surround you with people that will support you and lift you up. Okay, so but on to what we're talking about tonight. So I'm going to start a little bit earlier than the passage that Narissa gave or read through. We just wanted to read that bit just in case you didn't know the story of Jericho. I'm sure you all do, the whole marching thing, and you might have seen the VeggieTales version, I don't know. I have many times. And so far in the evening service, we've journeyed through the Old Testament, and we've seen how the Israelites needed courage, and they travelled a long way, and they crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land. This land flowing with milk and honey. And they find themselves in this place that wasn't necessarily referred to as Gilgal when they first found themselves there, in the Jordan River Valley. And that place was revisited over the history of the Israelites in the coming months and years, and ongoing into the story of God's people in the Old Testament. Gilgal was the place Joshua was instructed to circumcise all the men, something that hadn't happened whilst they'd been in the desert. Why was that place named Gilgal? Because it was the place that God rolled away, rolled away the reproach of Egyptian slavery. That was the place that the manna that they'd been feeding on in the desert stopped. The things they used while they were lost in the desert were changed, were gone. They had the opportunity to access the things of the promised land, the land of milk and honey. God's people were called to be different. So they've changed. There was a point in their journey at which, when they went into the promised land, they changed. They were circumcised because actually it was something that they were told to do to demonstrate that they were God's people, to demonstrate that they were different. And they hadn't for so long. And actually, they were now given the opportunity to enter the promised land, this place that was going to be amazing, that they could settle in and grow and build a kingdom. Now, we're all called to be different. We're all called to be set apart. And that needs a physical demonstration. And often, some people have a radical transformation, don't they? They go from kind of this to being 100 miles away from God to being 100 miles in his presence almost instantaneously. Some people, they take a little step from the day they were born right through to the day they die, each time stepping closer to God. They've always been a Christian throughout their entire life. And both stories, whether the radical transformation or the daily walk of your entire life, hold equal weight in God's eyes, and they hold equal weight in sharing with other people. So we have kind of do it quite often. So we often put a tea break in. So I've got a challenge for you, if you choose to accept it. Well, it's up to you, but you can definitely get a cup of tea if you want, and there are some cakes and biscuits and cookies and all that kind of stuff, even some water if you don't want tea. What I'd like you to do is just grab a cup of tea if you want one, and then share with someone nearby either something that God might have done in your life in the last week or two, or maybe your story of how you became a Christian. And you've got 5 minutes. Okay, so as you grab your tea, you can carry on later, I'm sure. I'm more than happy if you carry on chatting whilst one or two of us reset the chairs. But let me continue, please. Okay, so we're all uniquely called and different. And we all have a different story. And they're still talking. It's like scaling a wall, isn't it, getting you lot to be quiet? Sometimes, have you ever felt though, sometimes it's straightforward, isn't it? Like I was sitting in my study earlier on today, not too long ago, finishing my talk off, and looking outside, and it was a glorious autumn sunny day. It was lovely. It was just like that. Sometimes our walk can be like that, can't it? It can be like having a nice walk in the sunshine on a crisp autumn day. Or sometimes it can feel like we're trying to scale the battlements of a castle or a fortified city like Jericho. And that's tough. And it takes hard work. And it takes commitment sometimes. In every situation, in either situation, what is it that marks us out as being different to the moral person that we also know at work or college or school? What marks us out as being different and loyal to Jesus? How might we rediscover that initial excitement that we might have lost? Joshua came across this man standing with a drawn sword. He asked him if he was for Joshua's people or against them. He replied, neither, but as the commander of the army of the Lord. Joshua bowed down to this mighty warrior who clearly had come to support Joshua in the fight and fight on behalf and alongside the Israelite people. Joshua is then told that Jericho has already been delivered into his hand. So that thing, that battlement, that great huge place has actually already been delivered into his hand. I don't know. And then he got a set of odd sounding instructions. They sounded odd to me. Now, at this point, and as I was reading and preparing for tonight, you can go one of a few ways. You can go the VeggieTales way, for example. Our two little peas. I think they're peas. I don't really know. I've kind of stretched them a bit. They're a bit more like watermelons, the size they are. But you can go the comical VeggieTales way. They're kind of almost the kid's story, the bouncing around and all that route. Or you can go. You can actually, I found out. I'm not completely convinced. You can go the scientific analysis route. And apparently, it was possibly an overpopulated city with even dwellings being built. It's not a clean wall like the one I showed you that surrounds York. It had dwellings on it, and it was a bit haphazard. And the wall was massive, yes, but it wasn't particularly built that well. It was a little haphazard. And apparently, as well, if you, like an opera singer, can smash a glass, someone's worked out that theoretically the trumpet blast and the noise they made may well have caused the wall to shake. You can believe that if you really want to, but I don't. For me, the fact it's found in the truth of God's word. So whether it's VeggieTales, scientific analysis, that's entirely up to you. But actually, for me, it's all about the truth that's found in God's word. In Joshua 1:9, God says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Matthew 6, we're told, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." In John, Jesus has come so we may have life in its abundance, in all its abundance. And the Bible speaks of that. It speaks about a God who can do amazing and great things, whether he does it through oversized peas or scientific methods. He does it. But he also, like he made sacrifices, he calls us to make sacrifices so that his people might see his love through our actions, or other people might see his love through our actions. So actually, by what we do, others see. In the Bible, he explains, like Joshua had that set of things that he had to do marching around the walls of Jericho, the Bible sets out for us many descriptions and instructions of things that we are called and challenged to do in our everyday life. And sometimes, like I've already said, that can be tough. But that's what we're called to do. And if we live that out, and through the Holy Spirit in us, that's what makes us different to the morally nice person that we work with or that lives down the road. Joshua and the Israelites at Jericho followed God's instruction diligently. And we too must follow the instructions of God diligently. And they're revealed through his Bible. He also speaks to us. We can also hear from him. We can also wait on the Spirit and see if God has got something to say. Is there something that we've been asked to do by God, challenged, or maybe through a Holy Spirit prod? I want you to do something opposite to what we did a few moments ago. I want you just to take a moment to yourself and listen. If it helps, close your eyes, but just take a moment and seek God. Is God calling you to do something this week or this month to honour him? Is he calling you to something, to do something in obedience to him? Or is he calling you to be courageous in a place? Just listen and see if he's got something to say. Thank you, Lord, that you do speak today. I pray for each and every person gathered here that you do give them a Holy Spirit, Lord. You do speak through an action, something, Lord. You challenge them on a way that they might honour you more this week. They might be obedient to you this week, or give them the courage that they need to be courageous. Amen. The sound of the trumpet, when the men gave shout, the wall collapsed, so everyone charged in and took the city. And Joshua and the Israelites charged in and destroyed everything. Everything that was ungodly and everything that was against God's will. Absolutely everything, apart from the one person that had helped them, that had supported them on their mission from God. And why did he do that? Because he wanted his people to remain protected and pure, focused on the connection to him, onto the challenge of he'd given them, to occupy that promised land, to live that out in its fullness. Now, it's the Hulk, if you don't know, just in case, I thought I'd chuck it out there. The 70s version was a little bit skinnier. This is the kind of the 2000s, the kind of the millennial version. I'm sure that when you became a Christian, you weren't quite as extreme as the Israelite people. You didn't go all Hulk smash and destroy everything. You didn't smash up, I don't know, your music collection, your CD player. You might have done, I'm not saying you didn't. You didn't instantly destroy everything. You didn't squash or kill those people that weren't Christians that you knew. You didn't kind of plot to get rid of them or anything like that. Well, maybe you did, I don't know. The murmurings I'm hearing now is like, well, there's that person, just that one, and maybe one day, hopefully not. And just chucking it out there, the Incredible Hulk isn't real, so we can't really smash up all these buildings and things. Sorry, Chris. Any of the people that we know aren't Christians today, we're challenged by God to bring them into his kingdom. We're challenged to speak to them. We're challenged to rather than pull them down and smash them up. We were talking in the youth roots this morning about exactly this, about actually how sometimes, and it's probably going to get worse, as a Christian we can be singled out for our beliefs because they are becoming more and more different to what the world says we should believe. So as a Christian, we are constantly being turned against the flow, not necessarily through our own action, but actually through what the world is doing and the direction the world is being taken in. So we're challenged to not smash that up, but to work out ways to connect with it and honour God in it, so that we might shine the light of Jesus into that place, so that we might bring people into a relationship with him rather than mass murder, for example. Destroying buildings or apple, not the green edible kind. We're not called to do that. We're called to use those things and not let those things have too much influence and power over us. We're called to live that way and remain focused on God, to sacrifice a few things just like Jesus did on the cross. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're challenged to do. So each and every person has got their own unique story, and every single one of your story will connect to different people in very different ways. So my story will not connect with some of you and some of the people outside. They'll just think I'm an oversized, loud person, really. But other people will connect with the way I connect with God. Other people will connect with my story. And actually, it's great. I love hearing other people's stories. So how are you going to use your story? How are you going to listen to other people's stories? How are you going to work with those Christians around you to grow God's kingdom? How much time do you spend listening to God? I'll hold my hands up. I definitely don't spend enough time. We had a guy, James Lawrence, speak last week, and he said actually he challenged people in the room at that leaders course to spend 5 or 10 minutes a day just listening. And that's really hard. Because I don't know about you, but certainly through the World Cup, I've got my phone vibrating every single morning, probably every 5 minutes, if the game is going well. And earlier on, as we were preparing for the service, my phone was going because Saints were being thrashed by Saracens, but that's another thing. But it's really hard just to sit down and be. So when do you spend time listening to God so that he might speak and give you instruction on how he wants you to conquer the Jerichos that you face? And actually, who has God put around you or put on your heart that needs the light of Christ? Who do you know that actually could do with some Holy Spirit? Could actually do with Jesus' sacrifice on a cross? So you might lift them up rather than bring them down, the way that so many things in the world do. So what we're going to do is, the band are hopefully going to join us up here, and then we're just going to spend some time worshipping. And as if by magic, when you were making your tea, there's a load of post-it notes appeared on the floor and some pens too. As we worship, and God might have already said this to you, but actually as we worship, as an act of commitment, I challenge you actually, maybe God's challenging you to give something up so you can spend that time each day listening to him or praying for someone that needs to know him. Maybe write the thing down that you need to give up and stick it on the cross. Maybe it's Netflix. Maybe it's Snapchat. Maybe it's something else if you're not a teenager, I don't know. Or maybe actually it's simply to take something up, a commitment to pray for a person, to change the atmosphere somewhere. And actually, it would be great if that's something that you think God is prompting you to do, just write it down. We did this a Youth Leaders Day thing ages ago. We just wrote that down on a post-it note, and then we shoved it in our wallet, in our pocket, in somewhere where we were going to regularly see it and be prompted by it. So if God's challenging you to take something away and actually commit to praying for a person or praying for a situation, write it down and put it somewhere where you're going to see it daily. Because actually, if we pray for things daily, that's when we're banging on the doors of heaven going, God, listen. And sometimes that can take a long time. Sometimes it just takes us to knock a couple of times. So as the band play and you feel prompted, just come up and actually put down the things that God's challenging you to put down to give space to him in your life at the foot of the cross. Or maybe take a post-it and take a pen and just jot the thing down that actually you want to pray into, or the place or atmosphere that you want to change in the places you face every day.